Hello out there. Welcome to another episode of Let's Talk K-12 Education Show here on Realizing Your Potential TV Network every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm your host, Tanisha Langley, education enthusiast, thought leader, and founder of Enrichment Strategist Services, LLC, an education consulting business. How can you connect with me? So glad that you asked. You can connect with me through my Linktree at linktree.com/enrichmentstrategist, and there you'll find all of my social media, my website page, and things of that, any way that you can connect with me. I'm so excited to partner with you, dedicated to the heart of our community, which is education. I'm the host, but you and the community mean the most. I would love for you to share your suggestions of what you would love to get more information related to K-12 education. So if you have some K-12 suggestions or some topic ideas, please don't hesitate to email me at letstalkk12education@gmail.com. Again, email me your topic suggestions and ideas at letstalkk12education@gmail.com. As a former educator and classroom teacher from a traditional public school setting, my goal is to use this platform as an unbiased show to educate and provide information as it pertains to educating our future. That is the goal of the Let's Talk K-12 Education here on Realizing Your Potential TV Network. To let others know that in the challenging educational landscape, there is light that pierces the darkness, and there are educators working in the trenches, stakeholders, and educational thought leaders like myself, partnering to close the gap of the school-to-prison pipeline with tenacity, grit, and grind, meanwhile, while providing hope. Being a former middle school teacher and grandmother to 8 adorable, amazing grandbabies, I recognize the importance of creating and establishing a positive, productive, sturdy foundation at home while bridging that gap for home-to-school connection for this school year. As a result, I started Brain Teasers to promote critical thinking skills, which provides information, tips, tools, and resources in an effort to promote educational equity for families. So let's open up the show in true educational style with how is your brain game to get your mindset shifts ready for any of the school homework, school tasks, as it pertains to your K-12 little ones, your children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, godchildren, and all of the adorable K-12 crew. So riddle me this. A bridge of understanding, strong and true, connecting hearts, a bond anew. Together we'll face challenges with might and guide a child toward a future bright. What is it? So glad that you asked. It's a partnership between families and schools. So with that being said, we started last week talking about behavior management. So going to open up our show today with the continued discussion, part 2, the art of behavior management, a masterclass, and here is a thought provoker. Imagine a child struggling with behavior issues both at home and at school. How can families and schools work together to create a supportive and effective environment for the child? This thought-provoking question should spark and make you all reflect about the challenges families face when dealing with behavioral issues and the importance of collaboration between home and school. It invites you all in the community to consider the various factors that contribute to behavioral problems and explore potential solutions that can benefit both the child and the entire community. So with that information and our brain game segment today with the Art of Behavior Management Masterclass Part 2, I have a fun fact from the University of AI. Did you know students who experience consistent behavior expectations both at home and in school are more likely to excel academically and socially? Research shows that when parents and teachers collaborate on behavior management, students develop stronger self-discipline and emotional resilience, leading to fewer behavior issues and improved performance. This fun fact reinforces the importance of home-school partnerships in shaping positive student outcomes, tying back to the riddle's message about alignment between the two. So before we talk about the goal today and the objective of the Art of Behavior Management series, part two, want to dig a little bit deeper. And knowing that, you know, now, you know, by this point in the time, you know, your children have returned back to school from the Christmas and New Year's break. And sometimes this is when you're going to see some behavioral issues because they've been at home in an unstructured environment, doing mostly what they desire to do and not having to be structured with doing schoolwork. So I'm hoping that I can provide some tips and tools and resources today during our show, which is the Art of Behavior Management, the Masterclass Part 2. We started the first part of the series last week. I'm going to continue it because feel like it's essential for this time of the year as, again, your students are getting back into the regular routines and rhythms of school coming off of the K-12 Christmas and New Year's holiday break. So we're going to explore the challenges and opportunities for collaboration between families and schools in addressing student behavior issues. Some of our specific objectives are to identify common challenges, discuss the various factors that can contribute to behavior problems in children, explore effective strategies while we examine strategies that families and schools can implement together to address these challenges, and highlight the benefits of collaboration. Emphasize the positive impact of strong partnerships between families and schools on student outcomes. Going to be providing resources and support by offering practical advice and resources for families and educators seeking guidance on behavior management. I'm also here to encourage community involvement to foster a sense of community and collaboration among parents, teachers, and other stakeholders. So let's get into the topic today. I alluded to it during the Educational Thought Provoker for the Art of Behavior Management, a Masterclass Part 2. According to AI University, here are some stats regarding today's topic as it pertains to behavior management at home and home-to-school collaboration and partnerships. Improve student-teacher relationships from Fan and Chan 2001 found that positive parent-teacher relationships led to better teacher-student relationships, increased equity and support for at-risk students. Mapp and Kuttner in 2013 outlined how effective family engagement can reduce educational disparities by providing at-risk students with the additional support and resources they need to succeed. Positive impact on teacher practices by Barniak and McNally in 2009 found that teachers who frequently engage with parents and families are more likely to adopt practices that cater to the diverse needs of their students. Overall, research suggests that strong partnerships between families and schools can have a significant positive impact on student outcomes. By working together, there is that old cliche, there's no I in team. By working together, families and schools can create a supportive and nurturing environment that helps children thrive. Before I get into some myths, three myths about behavior management, going to get into the whole partnership. And trust you me, the radio listening audience of Realizing Your Potential TV Network, I understand from a personal perspective, dealing with my own son and one of my grandchildren, as well as teaching in a Title I school of a historically underserved community that has high volumes of negative behavior. I get it. It can be exhaustive. It can be scary. It can be frustrating when you have a child that has challenging behavioral issues in and out of school, in school and at home and within the community. I get it. But hopefully in today's show, you know, providing you with some tips, tools, and resources and letting you know that you are not alone, letting you know that you can make it, letting you know that there is hope, letting you know, most of you, and I'm going to take it there today on this show, that you most of you do a very good job of advocating for your children. And sometimes it appears as though you are fighting a losing battle. Trust you me, I've been there in my own personal experience with one of my children, which was my son, who is a very fine gentleman at 27. So there is hope. And experiencing a common thread that we've experienced early on with his son, which is my grandson, my number five out of my grandchildren. So, you know, understanding that, and I wanted to take a moment before I provided you with more information and myths and disparities to say, hang in there. It gets better. And sometimes it may feel as though you don't have the appropriate tribe or village in your battle with a child that has severe behavioral challenges and or social and emotional challenges, but hang in there. Exhaust everything that you possibly can for the child, but also insert yourself into the equation that you also need support. So I wanted to take a moment to express some empathy to those who are dealing with those rather challenging circumstances as it pertains to behavior. I get it. I understand. So just hang in there. So I want to get into some myths about behavior management with a focus on family and school engagement and partnership, along with realities and clarifications. Again, we're talking about teamwork with the schools, bridging the home to school connection, and the old cliche, there is no I in team, okay? But there is an I in village, which sometimes that's what it takes in these very challenging situations regarding a child with severe behavioral issues or consistent behavioral issues that are interfering in their academics and in your home lives. So myth number one, behavior management is solely the school's responsibility. The reality of that is behavior management is most effective when schools and families work together. Schools provide structure and strategies during the day, but families play an equally critical role in the reinforcing these at home. A collaborative approach ensures consistency and helps students develop better behavior patterns across both environments. Keyword there, listening audience, is better. Doesn't say total eradication of a behavior, but it says better. That means we're counting the wins. We're accepting the wins. These students are having, out of the 5 days out of the week, they go from having a behavior episode 5 of those days, and they go down to 4 of those 5 days. That's a win. Celebrate it. Cheer them on. Cheer yourselves on. High five the members of your village and the community and the partnerships that we got it down to 4 days instead of 5 days where we are having the negative behaviors. So celebrate those small wins along the way. Myth two. Parents should only be involved when there is a problem. The reality is, waiting until a behavior issue arises to involve parents is reactive rather than proactive. This is targeted towards the educators or administrators or educational stakeholders for the children. Regular communication between parents and teachers, whether things are going well or not, builds a stronger partnership and allows for early intervention, which can prevent issues from escalating. So before I move on to myth three, I want to dig a little bit deeper in myth two and some of the behavioral positive reinforcement strategies that I used when I was a classroom teacher and that I currently use as I, you know, do training and development for adult learners. One of the most effective things that you can do that will not cost you anything, but just a few moments of your time. Parents that have children that they have dealt predominantly with negative behavior that's disruptive, that's causing challenges in the home, in and out of school, and in the community, is for you to stop and take a moment. If little Johnny, little Sarah, or Sarah or Johnny, depending on if they're in high school, had a good day, meaning that most of the day, most of their transactions, most of their decisions, most of their behaviors, something about it was positive and it was going in the right direction. What you could do that doesn't cost you a dime is to, if the parent has a cell phone, reach out to that parent via text and say, hey, Miss Lottie Dottie, Mr. Lottie Dottie, or grandma or uncle or auntie, Miss Langley today. I just want to inform you that Sarah or Jake had an amazing day today. They had improvements in their behaviors and their decision makings. There was less impulsivity today that would cause disruptions with their learning or the learners of their peers. And I just want to take a few moments to give you some good news for a change. That will make a world of difference. Because oftentimes these parents they're only receiving negative news that Johnny or Sarah had a bad day. Johnny or Sarah made this decision. Johnny or Sarah was disruptive in this way, A, B, C, or D. So for you to be in the village in partnership with the parents of these children, every now and then, just try to refrain from communicating with them when things are not good, but try to communicate with them when things are better. Notice I didn't say when things are perfect, but when things are better, that Johnny or Sarah had a better day today. Was things perfect? Absolutely not. Out of the four things that I wanted them to do, they did two of those. But you can count the wins along the way and acknowledge them along the way, and it will be an integral part in helping you to strengthen that partnership between you and the parent and home to school. Myth number three, what works at home will work at school and vice versa. The reality is children often behave differently at home and at school due to different environments, peer interactions, and expectations. Schools and families must share behavior management strategies, but also understand that adjustments may be needed for the unique settings. Flexibility and open communication are key to finding the right balance. So again, the parents may take an electronic device and may only hold it for 30 minutes while they clean up or get homework done. You could do those same strategies, but you may want to do a backwards design and say, Johnny or Sarah, at the end of this week, if you have 3 out of the 5 points that I'm expecting you to get, then I will give you about 5 minutes of electronic time. But make sure that you're clearing this with your administrators in your building or the instructional leads in your building to make sure that you're in compliance and that this will not go against any of your school PBIS or school policies. So always make sure that you're compliant. I'm just offering some suggestions of some things that I've done and providing you with information that I have researched. So these myths can help spark important conversations about the shared responsibility of managing student behavior and the value of a strong home-to-school partnership. Can't emphasize that enough. Open communication and partnership, regular communication, establish regular communication channels with teachers, such as weekly check-ins or phone calls, shared goals, work together with teachers to set clear and achievable goals for your child's behavior. Consistent expectations ensure that expectations for behavior are consistent both at home and at school. Active listening, practice active listening to understand your child's perspective and address any concerns. Positive reinforcement at home, reward desired behaviors. Acknowledge and reward your child for positive behaviors at home using praise privileges or tangible rewards. Before I get into consistent consequences, want to add, give you a reference, an example of something. When I was consulting with a firm that had a contract with the school systems to provide wraparound services and mental health services, school-based mental health services, one of my students that I was having behavior interventions meetings with them, what I had to discuss with the mother was, please look at how you are using your language when you're talking with this particular, when you're talking with your child. You want them to be perfect. Perfect is not such a thing, not even for those who don't have challenges in certain areas of their lives. So, celebrate those small wins. If it means that, you know, little Johnny, you gave them four things to do. They did three out of the four. Celebrate them, high five them, even give them a hug and encourage them to continue to do the right things and not look for perfect. Look more in the along the lens of it being a very ideal situation in the right direction. Okay. So, because some consistent consequences, establish clear and consistent consequences for negative behaviors at home, ensuring they align with school policies, modeling positive behavior, demonstrate appropriate behavior yourself, as children often learn by observing their parents, meaning that if you're not wanting your child to scream and holler and be reactive when they're responding to others, then you try to set the tone when you're in front of them because they are watching everything that you do and say. Supporting school-based interventions, reinforce school rules, reinforce the importance of following school rules and expectations at home. Implement behavior plans, actively participate in developing and implementing individualized behavior plans for your child. Attend parent-teacher conferences, regularly attend parent-teacher conferences to discuss your child's progress and address any concerns. Creating a supportive home environment. Establish routines. Create consistent routines and expectations at home to help your child develop self-discipline. Limit screen time. E-I-I, that's a huge one. I'll say it again. It's so nice, I have to say it twice. Limit screen time. Reduce screen time and encourage healthy activities that promote relaxation and focus. Provide emotional support. Offer emotional support and understanding, creating a safe and nurturing environment for your child. I talked a little bit about that as in being extremely intentional with having those conversations, with highlighting them when they've made some good choices, highlighting them when they're taking a step in the right direction. It's wonderful if they take several steps in the right direction, but definitely celebrate those small wins along the way as it pertains to their behavior management. Again, this is a masterclass part two. Advocacy and involvement. Stay informed, stay updated on school policies, programs, and resources related to behavior management. Get involved. Participate in school activities and committees to advocate for your child's needs and support the school community. By working together, families and schools can create a strong partnership that supports positive behavior and academic success. So here are some resources that I want to give you. So I want to give you some books. So if you've got your pad and paper, pencil, a note on your technology device, give you some resources to look up and read in your spare time. So The Behavior Code, A Practical Guide to Managing Challenges Student Behavior by Becky Bailey. Taking Charge, Managing Classroom Behavior and Creating a Positive Learning Environment by Rudolph Dreikers and Virginia Kelly. Classroom Management for Dummies by Tom Clements. The New Teacher's Guide to Classroom Management by Michelle Borba. The Carrot and Stick, Rethinking How We Motivate Our Children by Alfie Kahn. Here are some online courses. Coursera, The Science of Positive Behavior Management. EdX, Classroom Management Strategies for Effective Teaching Strategies That Work. Classroom Management Organizations, Association for Behavior Analysis International, ABAI. I have the link, but it's probably going to work to your advantage just to click in ABAI. Children Exceptional Children, any of those. So you've got Council for Exceptional Children, which is CEC, Council for Exceptional Children, CEC. And again, you can type that into your search bar and it should bring up the link for you. videos, discover some TED Talks on classroom management and positive behavior. So a recap and review of The Art of Behavior Management, a masterclass part two, key takeaways for educators is adopt a framework. Implementing a structured framework like PBIS can provide a clear roadmap for behavior management. Foster collaboration involving various stakeholders, including teachers, administrators, parents, which ensures a unified approach. Invest in training. Ongoing professional development is crucial for effectively applying behavior management strategies. Teachers, make sure you're utilizing data. Regularly collecting and analyzing behavior data helps in assessing the effectiveness of interventions and making necessary changes. Ooh, that's a huge one. That's a whole other show. Promote positive relationships by building strong, respectful relationships with students lays the foundation for a positive classroom culture. By learning from Lincoln Elementary's experience and the experts from the Art of Behavior Management class, educators can apply some similar strategies to improve behavior management in their own schools, ultimately leading to better educational outcomes for all students. So it's been a blast today going over the Art of Behavior Management Masterclass Series Part 2, having you all to look at all of the various perspectives when it concerns a child's behavior, whether it is, whether they have high volumes of undesirable behavior, or whether they just have your classic behavior. It takes a village, it takes a team, and it takes grace and patience on your end as far as we're talking about educators, students, K-12 staff, stakeholders, thought leaders, the whole nine yards. So I want to thank you for joining us on Let's Talk K-12 Education show here on Realizing Your Potential TV Network. We are grateful for your time, insights, and dedication to exploring what truly makes difference in the lives of our students, educators, and communities. Your commitment to understanding and advancing K-12 education is what drives meaningful change. Together, we're shaping the future of education, one conversation, one episode, one Tuesday at 7 away. So wishing you continued success and inspiration as you help unlock the potential in every learner. This is Tanisha Langley, your educational enthusiast, thought leader, and show host for Let's Talk K-12 Education show here on Realizing Your Potential TV Network. Where can you find us? What time can you find us? I'm so very glad that you asked. You can find us here every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Why would you want to come here 7 p.m. every Tuesday? At 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, because it is where we are empowered through education and we make education everyone's business. Until the next time, we look forward to seeing you next Tuesday at 7 p.m. and thereafter every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thank you for joining. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you back here next week. Talk to you later. Bye.